Hey everyone, welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. We went live on YouTube this week to talk Google Home Mini, CES, pre-release Pixelbook stuff, and upcoming high-powered devices from Samsung and Asus. Enjoy. Hey folks. Welcome to the Chromecast, episode 2. We are live from the Chrome Unboxed headquarters, not from Google, not as cool, but we're still going to be coming at you, giving you some good content for today. So as you heard, this is episode 2. So episode 1, we did live from Google. If you didn't see that one and you want to check it out, go to chromeunboxed.com/podcast and check that out. But yeah, I'm joined today by Robbie Payne and Gabriel Brangers. My name is Joe Humphrey. And yeah, so today we're just going to be going through some stuff with Chrome OS and Chromebooks and all things Chrome. Yeah. Right, guys?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Basically talking about some of the things that have been bigger news pieces since we left Google.
Yeah.
Because as always, stuff just kind of keeps moving through, so there's lots to talk about.
Yeah, and I mean, the main thing, you know, we were out at the Google Hardware event, and they announced a lot of great products. But one of those that we kind of want to highlight today and talk about a little bit is the Google Home Mini. So, yeah, talk to me a little bit. Tell me about this Google Home Mini. What's going on?
So yeah, the Google decided to put out the Google Home Mini, and it wasn't a surprise to a lot of people. For months, it's been rumored. We kind of knew it was coming. And then part of that leak that happened the week before the event, we saw lots of pictures of it. And again, it wasn't a huge surprise, but what the Google Home Mini brought to the table was a $49 entry-level, easy access way for people to get Google Home in their home, and it was a way for Google to get Assistant into people's homes. And so there was a hiccup. Was it about a week ago?
Yeah, it was last week, middle of last week.
And so basically what happened is, if you all haven't seen this, we reported on it as well, but it was definitely in response to what happened with individual at Android Police. He actually is the owner of all of Android Police. So for Google, probably unfortunate that this happened with Artem.
But on the flip side, better it happened now than
sure.
a month
yeah.
from now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Basically, long story short, the top portion of the Google Home acts as a capacitive touch area. And so Google really spent some time touting the fabric that they created from scratch mm-hmm. for the top of the Google Home Mini. And it lets light through, so the LEDs can shine through it, lets sound through, so your voice can get through it, and also lets touch through. Somewhere in this production, there's an issue with the top panel. I don't know if it's the fabric or, I don't know. They haven't come out and said what it is, but there's an issue where the Mini would trigger Google Assistant because you could long press, and we found that out post the event.
Yeah, I was never able to do it with mine because I guess it was in the transition. But you can play pause music right. with it, turn off an alarm with it, but you could long press it to invoke the assistant.
Yeah, so. And so somewhere in all that it does, it was actually being triggered and just sitting there and listening. And so Artem actually ended up finding long periods of time. If you look, you can go into your Google activity and see what Google has recorded anytime you invoke the assistant, which is really cool. It's cool that Google does that. It's cool that they're transparent. It's cool that you can go in and delete your history at any point in time. He saw that and was really alarmed, as I would hope most of you would be. That feels really invasive for something to be recording you all the time. Google was quick to respond. They immediately came and got the devices. They tore them down, tried to figure out what's going on. And their initial response actually was that it was only the devices that they handed out at the hardware event. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, what, 500, 600
yeah,
people, something
most, maybe, yeah.
tops that went out. And so it was kind of like, okay, here's this concealed issue that was not that big of a deal. And once they come out, the regular ones come out, they're going to be fine. And it turned out that wasn't the issue. And instead, now Google has basically said, hey, we're completely disabling the top touch portion of the Google Home Mini. And so that, to me, isn't cool at all. And I'll say my piece and then kind of let you guys weigh in and see what your thoughts are on the matter. But in my head, and we're going to follow this up actually with a piece that we're going to put on the site probably later tonight, so you can read a little bit more in depth if this kind of passes you by, or you're listening in the car or something. And so obviously the comment section will be open. I would love to see the conversation this spurs. But in my mind, I really feel like this is something where Google needs to take a proactive stance and recall the device. I feel like they should have done so right at the beginning, because in a nutshell, you get a device that has a hardware deficiency, mm-hmm. and it's getting shipped, and sure, they're disabling the part that causes the issue, but that's a huge part of interacting. If any of you own
experience.
Own a Google Home, I mean, you know that touching the top is like just a normal thing. I mean, sometimes it's not even a player pause a song. It's you've asked Google something and it starts reading a Wikipedia entry, and it's going to be reading that entry for a good 3-4 minutes because it's a long entry. You don't want to hear it anymore, so you reach over and touch it. Alarm goes off, you reach over and touch it. Song's playing, you reach over and touch it. And the fact that that's not working, in my mind, the easiest thing I can equate that to is my daughter has a 3.5-year-old Samsung Galaxy S5 that she just uses kind of as a portable little thing to play on, right? About a year ago, the volume down switch went off. Like, it didn't work anymore. So if something's playing too loud, I say, you need to turn it down. She knows. She hits the volume up. The volume thing pops up on the screen. She drags the bar. Does it work? Sure. Yeah, you can turn the volume down. That's fine. But if Samsung were to ship a device knowing that that was the case, they went, oh man, all our Galaxy S8s have volume down switches that don't work. Oh well, there's a workaround. It's fine. No one would be fine with that. No one would be fine with that. And this, what it feels like Google's doing is going, okay, this fixed it, and there's a hacky way to still, you can still talk to it, right? You can still do that. But one of the primary ways you interact with the device is gimped and broken. It needs to be recalled, because the long-term effects of this are not going to be good, because this is a device on the level of Chromecast, right? Yeah. That it's cheap. People would buy it in droves, and now you've got it. It's gimped. People that aren't going to watch this, that aren't going to read tech blogs, are going to get it in their home, and they saw some video by some person where they were touching it, and they're going to get it out of the box, and they're going to go, oh, that song's playing, and I'm going to touch it, and it's not going to stop. Well, now it's broken. Okay, Google, my Google Home Mini's broken. No, your Google Home Mini's not broken. That's the way we had to disable that, because blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Why would I buy a product from Google again after that?
And Brian mentioned that he was under the impression that the long press feature was the only thing that was disabled. But if you see our previous article and then Artem's article from Android Police, if you actually go to the Google Home support page and go to Google Home Mini, it clearly states they have permanently disabled any top tap functions.
Yeah, completely. And we can both verify we have.
Yeah, we have them, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, and it's a bummer. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know it's a small thing. It seems like a small feature, but you know, I came home from San Francisco and I gave mine to my daughter and said, "Hey, you can use this, and at night, instead of playing music on your phone to go to sleep to, tell Google to play music." And it was this really neat thing. She's excited. She just loves it. She shows it to every friend that comes over. And now she uses it to go to sleep too. And so when I walk into her room to turn it off, I walked in and touch it and walk out of the room. Mm-hmm. Now I'm leaning over, turning it on. Oh, okay, Google. Okay, Google. You know, I don't want to wake her up. I feel ridiculous doing it, right? Like, and again, it's a small thing, but it's one of the primary ways you interact with the device.
But it's
broken,
right?
It's just broken.
It's a primary function. I mean, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, that is part of the user experience, right? So being able to tap that, I mean, yeah, you said it. Like, any Google Home that you have, even the main one, you know, that functionality is part of it, right? So if you don't have that as part of the product, then yeah, it's a tough situation. I'm curious to see how they, if they do anything about it, or if they just let it ride. And because I could see a scenario where, you know, there's devices going out, because like you said, there's a lot of folks that aren't going to be watching this podcast or reading tech blogs that are going to go buy this thing. It's not going to work, right? So what does that do, and what implications does that have long term for not only just that product and somebody returning that product, but long term somebody's impressions of Google products, period, right? Right. So yeah, it's an interesting situation. I'm curious to see what happens. Like Robbie said, guys, you know, please hit us up in the comments of this live stream, or once we put out our article, you know, take a look on there and let us know what you think.
Yeah, because I want to emphasize too that the three of us sitting here are big fans of Google. You know, sure. Joe got a new MacBook for work this week, and the first thing that goes on it is Chrome.
Yeah.
And the last thing that gets set up is any Apple apps. I mean, we are fans and users of Chromebooks and Chrome devices. When I started listing them for the article that I'm preparing about this, I was actually kind of shocked at how much of a fanboy, honestly, of Google I am.
Because
I
walk in Google store.
You know,
yeah.
I am. And so I'm a fan of them, and I hate to criticize stuff, but when things need to be criticized, they need to be. And,
absolutely.
And I feel like, you know, this is something where I hope Google does the right thing, because they could have a production run that comes in after this one where that's fixed. That's not a hardware issue that's a thing anymore.
Right.
And you know, maybe it's a, hey, if you have one of the ones it doesn't work on, we'll offer you a free trade. So maybe it didn't have to be a full recall. I don't know. I don't know how you handle that kind of stuff. But I have to imagine that a few million dollars that you would eat by doing the recall now, it would have been better, again, had they done this when it came up, stop those supply chains, sure, pull those things back now before they get out in the market and start causing issue. They didn't do that. And so it's patched, and it's not doing the bad thing it was doing. But now it's not doing one of the primary good things it was doing now. And so I can't help but see that it's gimped and broken. And I'm really kind of sad about the fact that that's the case right now with Google Home Mini. Because before that happened, I just told a lot of people, like, hey, man, you can get Google Home you know, and have this experience in your house for $50. You know, this is kind of a no-brainer. Go grab one. And the biggest gripe was that it didn't have an auxiliary out port. You know, yeah, sure, that's still a gripe, and that's legitimate. But, like, this is a problem, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, you know, it's I'm curious. Like I said, I'm curious to see how Google handles it and how they move forward with this. But yeah, so that's kind of a bummer. But you know, it is what it is. So one thing we are excited about. So there's the downer, right? But yeah. One thing we're excited about is the Pixelbook, right? So you know, what's new? I mean, we saw this device out in San Francisco, obviously, and we're super excited about it. What's new, guys? I mean, talk to me about this Pixelbook. When's it coming? Where can people pre-order it? I mean, tell me everything.
There's a lot we can't say about it. What I can tell you, we've gotten a lot of questions on the website. We do have one. We're allowed to tell you that. I'm not sure if we're allowed to tell you when we're allowed to talk about it. And I don't want to overstep those bounds, especially since I kind of just grilled Google a little bit. So I'm not sure. I can tell you it's soon. We're going to be able to deliver something to you soon about our time with the Pixelbook. Yep. And other than that, I can't say too much. I'm checking some of the comments. We're going to try to do this as we go. Check through.
A couple people saying we're having some volume issues, so...
We're gonna turn up now. The rocket's quit. Yeah, hopefully things keep moving through. I apologize if the live stream cuts out here and there. A lot of that we can't control because there's multiple things happening. Obviously, I know our internet connection here looks strong, and we've been monitoring it as we go. So we'll obviously continue to keep looking to that. Yeah. But as far as the Pixelbook goes, again, we're limited as to what we can say. It becomes available for order, and you should start seeing it pop up in stores on October 31st.
Mm-hmm.
I can at least tell you that we'll have you review before that day. I can tell you that.
Yeah, Best Buy is promising they'll have it in stores on the 1st, and pre-orders will be out on the 1st. Amazon's releasing it on the 31st along with Google. A lot of the questions we've been getting and we're getting now live is the price justified? From my limited time with the device and the other devices, the higher priced i7 devices coming and the potential those devices have, yeah, I think it is. I really do. I don't think Google needs to justify the price of the Pixelbook. I think it's worth every penny.
Yeah, and you know, again, we can speak to the time we spent with it in San Francisco. I mean, it is an elegant piece of machinery. It's a great device. It feels great. It looks great. And seems to be very fast. And like I said, we don't want to push the boundaries of what we can talk about. Just wanted to let you guys know, kind of an update, that the stuff is coming very soon. So you won't have to wait too much longer before reviews and all that kind of stuff come out. Not just from us, but from
everybody,
from media in general. Sure. So hopefully those are majorly positive.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just for folks that might be interested, you know, I know a lot of folks are following the site and probably know this already, but if someone wanted to pre-order this device, can they do that right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So where can they do that?
The quickest place, I mean, that most people feel comfortable shopping online would be Amazon. And we'll throw a link down in the bottom of this. The link's all over our site too, where you can, any article basically on the Pixelbook, we usually include a link where you can go pre-order it. And so far, we've not seen anything saying that they're going to be delaying shipments or anything. And in general, it's an expensive device. So I would seriously doubt we're going to run into supply issues. But probably B&H, Best Buy, I think they're doing pre-orders now as well, right? I mean, you can go there as well. And if you have a local Best Buy, maybe you want to go check it out, get your hands on one. We're only, what is today, the 20th. So, hey, we're only 11 days away then from, you know, these starting to pop up at stores, and you're going to see a lot of stuff online in the next couple of weeks about these devices. So we're excited about it and excited to share with you guys. It's fun to get stuff early, but it's also fun to be able to talk about it and share it. So we haven't been able to do that yet and are eager to do so. So.
Gabe, do we have any comments that we want to check
out? Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was about the price of the Pixelbook. Someone just asked if the containerization dream was dead. I can assure you that's still very much alive. It's still in development, and I'll actually be publishing an article tomorrow talking about that a little bit more. And it kind of ties into an article that Robbie published yesterday on the new devices. The new Samsung and Asus devices.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Google obviously is pushing for enterprise, and there is a lot of work going on with containers and being able to run containerized apps and operating system environments on top of Chrome OS. It is a real thing. It already exists in the form of Android apps. That is what's happening, for those of you that aren't familiar. That is the Android environment, Arc environment, running sandboxed on top of Chrome OS, and they are doing the same thing with other applications and operating systems. And if the timeline falls into place, I feel like that will happen, or at least begin to happen, with the release of Chrome OS 63, which will be 6-7 weeks from now.
Yeah, roughly.
So end of the year-ish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of just dovetails us right into talking about those.
Yeah, devices, I mean, it's right? It's you know, we're excited about the Pixelbook. That's the next chapter. We're excited about that, but there's still some other things on the horizon that we're excited about. You know, CES is right around the corner. We're gonna be out in Las Vegas for this year's Consumer Electronics Show. Really excited about that, and I just wanted to, you know, talk to you guys a little bit about what we might see and what we're expecting. What are some of the possibilities from coming out of CES this year?
Well, I'll start with, we just kind of briefly mentioned that, but Samsung and Asus both are definitely working on bringing Core i7 16 gig of RAM devices to the market, likely for enterprise, but who knows, we might see them in the consumer front as well. So, you know, I think the CES timeline could line up for them to kind of at least have those on display to show them. But I think there's probably some interesting possibilities in the detachable tablet.
Absolutely. I mean, detachables and tablets, Chrome OS versions, they are a thing. They've been in the works for a while. Actually, while we were in Vegas in January, the CES 2017, we saw the first Chrome OS tablet begin its development. Just did an article about it today. It looks like it's going to have a stowable stylus, just like the Pro and the Plus do. But they're in the works, and it's not a far-reaching thing. I mean, it's the direction Chrome OS has taken. It's not like developers are sitting around going, man, how do we get Chrome OS on a tablet? I mean, I could rip the keyboard off of this and I have Chrome OS on a tablet. It's not that big of a deal. The operating system's lightweight. It runs great with Android apps beside it. And we know that they're in the works. The Pixelbook was almost a year in development, almost a year to the date, actually, from development to launch a couple of weeks ago. Scarlett, the tablet, Chrome OS tablet, began development at the beginning of the year. So I think it's very plausible. CES isn't a huge platform for Chromebooks, but Samsung kind of changed the game there last year. Sure. When they announced the Pro and Plus. So we could see the launch of multiple tablets, possibly detachable devices at CES. I certainly think there'll be a much larger Chrome OS presence there. Mm-hmm. And,
I think some of that goes back to the Pixelbook in general. Yeah. So, you know, love or hate the price and the way it's positioned in the market, if you think about it, a device that, again, it's not out yet, so we're not seeing a ton of advertising for mm-hmm. it, but I've been watching the Major League Baseball playoffs. My Cubbies went down last night, mercifully. It was a rough series. But every commercial break, it seemed like there was a Pixel 2, Pixel XL2 commercial. Like, they're pushing that phone heavily. But it's also been released, right? It came out on the 19th. So this week, it actually hit the market. So we kind of expect the same type of thing. Maybe not as aggressive because, you know, the phone market is crazy cutthroat. But you're going to start seeing advertisements, whether it be online or during your favorite TV shows. You're going to start seeing the Pixelbook. You're going to see it out and about. You're going to see billboards. You're going to see all that kind of stuff soon. That kind of stuff has a trickle-down effect. So regardless of whether you think you'll ever buy the Pixelbook itself, it becomes this thing where other vendors start thinking, oh, you know, it may be time for us to move and get our Pixelbook, our Chromebook out, because people are starting to become aware of Pixelbooks. And so CES is always on the edge of kind of what we see. Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense that some of these form factors that we haven't yet seen could actually show up at CES. So yeah, I agree that we'll likely see some detachables, some tablets, that kind of stuff. Because we don't know who makes these devices we're tracking. So Soraka, the detachable that we're tracking, and Scarlett, the tablet that we're tracking. We're not sure who makes those at this point. So anybody kind of is in play. There's a lot of people that make tablets and a lot of people that make detachables. Yeah. So in general, anybody could make them and they could show up. And there could be Chromebooks that we've missed because they're starting to get smart and make use the same board to make multiple devices.
They're on to us. Yeah, absolutely. They're on to us.
And it's a fun game, right? You know, that we got to talk with a lot of the Chrome OS team out in San Francisco. And so... you know, it's a little bit of cat and mouse, you know, sure. they're trying to keep some secrets from us, but also, you know, enjoy seeing the stuff that they're working on kind of get out and people talking about it. And so for all of you watching our videos, we haven't shared this yet, but, I want you all to know, and especially those who visit the website, who spend time commenting there, the guys that build these devices, the guys that make them, read our site and read your all's comments.
Absolutely.
All of them. Like, they were probably as excited to see us as we were to see them. It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just about Chrome Unboxed. It's about this community that's kind of developed around it. And they enjoy... And I heard multiple people make multiple comments about the fact that the comment section, especially on the website... YouTube can get a little dicey. But comments on the website... and YouTube's just that way. But comments on the website, really, they enjoy getting in there and reading those comments. And obviously, they can't jump in and comment a bunch because they can't share most of the things they're working on. But they really enjoy reading them and seeing people talk about, think about Chrome OS. It energizes them to do their job, too. So, big shout out to our reader base and fan base. And we obviously wouldn't do what we do without you all. And it's cool that the guys that build the things that we get to talk about are excited to read your all's comments. That was a really, really neat connection to get.
Yeah, so just, I mean, get involved, you know.
Sure.
Whether it's on the comments of this live video or on the website or just on any YouTube video, you know, we're checking those things. Whether we are commenting back or not, we're checking them, okay? So get involved, you know. Get be a part of the community and let us know what you think about what we're talking about and what we're posting on YouTube and on the website. Anything else we want to share, guys? I mean, I think that
circle back around to the Home Mini and CES and Encompass all that. I think Rob and I were discussing this yesterday, and much like Google's hardware event, I think CES is going to kind of be assistants everywhere. It's going to be Alexa, it's going to be Google Assistant, Siri, all of that.
I mean, we saw that last year with Alexa was showing up in like every other device that was announced.
It was Alexa last year, it'll be Google Assistant this year. We've already seen the launch of the My Voice Tick Home Mini, which is their spin on kind of a Google Home Mini, but it's portable, rechargeable, water resistant. Really awesome looking device. We're hoping to get our hands on one here very soon and try it out. But there's six or seven other manufacturers that are already slated to launch assistant enabled speakers. And of course, you know, I mean, we're seeing the assistant everywhere. It's coming to Chromebooks. It's in the Pixel Book already. And that's kind of Google's thing right now. AI first combined with hardware and software. And I think that's what we're going to see a lot of in Las Vegas this year, next year, is just smart stuff all over the place.
And Chromebooks in general now, because of their position with what Google's doing, find themselves right in the middle of all that.
Right.
So you have the Pixel Book being the first, but will not be the only down the road device with Google Assistant built in. Chromebooks in general will have Google Assistant, even the old ones. We've seen commits, you can find it on the website, but you know, they have a shortcut key, you know, key combination for devices that don't have an assistant key. They're already working that in. So for those of you who are going, well, I'm never going to buy a Pixel Book, or, you know, I just bought the Samsung Chromebook Plus or Pro, or, you know, the Asus or whatever. You know, Assistant is coming. Right. It's going to be in the middle of everything that Google's doing. And that's kind of a cool thing. There's this thread that kind of threads everything together, whether it's Android. And now that, you know, Chromebooks run Android apps, you know, and we're coming out of beta with that, you know, all of it's just kind of tying together. And so if you ever question why it is we cover some stuff on Assistant, that's the main reason. And additionally, you know, Google Home runs a modified version of Chrome OS. Mm-hmm. Chromecast run a modified version of Chrome OS with Android built in here and there. And Google Wi-Fi runs a modified version of Chrome OS. So it all kind of falls in, links in, and is all part of the same thing. And it used to be a little more ethereal, but you know, now you have the Pixel Book and there's an assistant button right on it. So it all ties together. And so we want to kind of be covering that and stay on the front of those types of things as well. And I'm sure CES is going to be loaded with assistant stuff.
Yeah, guys. So if you all enjoyed this episode, I think that pretty much wraps it up for today. Yeah. So I mean, if you all enjoyed this episode, please come back and watch future episodes. We're going to do this semi-monthly, so roughly every other week, you know, every 2 weeks, roughly. Yeah. So check us out. We're obviously live on YouTube, so you can find us there, Chrome Unboxed. Also, you can check out the website, chromeunboxed.com/podcast, and that's where we'll link all of the episodes and some other links and show notes and whatnot. You can also find us on social. We're pretty much Chrome Unboxed on
everything.
So find us on there, and like Robbie said earlier, get involved. Hit us up, let us know what you all are thinking about what we're talking about today, and until next time, I guess we'll see you guys.
All right.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunboxed.com/podcast, along with tons of other info covered in this episode. Additionally, you can find us online on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ by searching @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.